We long to belong. We long to belong. After serving for years in the military, he was making that transition to civilian life. He was coming from a place where everyone had a place. It was crystal clear. And even better than that, everyone was in this together. The people he served with, they weren't just friends. They were brothers to him, and he missed that. Now he's making that transition to civilian life, and it's his first day at a new job, and it's full of commissions and corporate ladders. Now, to him, the only thing that's crystal clear anymore is that it's every man for himself. We long to belong. She's standing there with her cafeteria tray, looking out for some place to sit. Have you been there before? She has, because this is not her first day at a new school. No, she's been there for years. Years, and still, when lunchtime rolls around, she doesn't know where she can sit. You see, over there, that's the softball team. Over there, those are the band kids. Over there, there are a group that she used to call friends until they snubbed her out. You'd think something like finding a place to sit for lunch would get easier. But for her, it just gets harder. We long to belong. He was one of three siblings. And his brother and sister, both natural athletes, just like mom and dad. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was basketball or baseball or volleyball. It didn't matter. They could play it and were great at it. But for him, he never got that athletic gene. And he didn't even have the athletic bug. No, it just wasn't him. And as he's being dragged along to practices and games and practices and games, he's starting to feel like he's not even really fitting in here. He longed to belong, even in his own family. We long to belong. She was married once, and he was a real jerk to her. She married again, and it was the same story. She married again, and that one fell apart too, but she'll even tell you that one was on her. She married again, and again, all fell apart. So what's the problem here? Is it her? Is it them? A little bit of both, probably, but for her, what made it even harder on her? What made it even much more difficult is that she was part of a small town. She came from a small town, and it was just crushing her because everyone knew. Everyone knew her story. Everyone knew the train wrecks in her life, and she would go out, and she would feel the stares from everyone. No one talked to her. She would go out, and this woman who just craved relationship, had a real deep need for a relationship, was finding herself just avoiding everybody because everybody treated her like dirt. But then that same woman met another man. His name is Jesus. You see, it was the first century, and this woman needed to go get some water. And so what they did back then, she had to go out to a well right outside of her town and her village. And she's going to this well, and she's used to this by now, avoiding everybody. And she picks the time of day when she is pretty much certain that there's going to be no one else there. No one else there. She's done this before, but when she gets there, she finds out she was wrong. Because there's a guy standing there at the well, also there to get some water. But she notices right away, it's not just a guy, it's not just a person, it's a Jewish person. She's like, come on. Because for her, you have to understand her and her culture. You see, she had a village. She had a village who hated her because of her past. the things that had happened to her, the things that she had done. She had a village who hated her because of that, but she came from an area called Samaria. And Jewish people looked at people from Samaria and they hated them just because. Just because. So she looks at this, she's like, come on. Give me a break. So she thought, here's the plan. I'm just going to keep my head down, going to get my water, and get out of here. And to her surprise, though, she goes up to this well, and this Jewish man starts talking to her. Talking to her. Like a human being. And not only that, what even more surprised her is that this man seemed to know her. Seemed to know everything about her. So this isn't adding up for her. So not only is this guy a Jew and I'm from Samaria, but this guy knows everything about me and he's talking to me. He's kind to me. You see, he's not snubbing her out. He doesn't hate her. No, he showed her, this woman saw, he showed her something that she's always been longing for, but never really seen. Love. See, the story about this woman and Jesus, it's a true story. It comes it was written for us by one of the disciples of Jesus named John. John was a disciple of Jesus. He followed Jesus and went with him so many places. One of Jesus' closest disciples, closest followers. And John would witness things like this. Like Jesus between this woman at the well and him. He heard about that story. He wrote about that story. John saw all kinds of stories like this. Jesus treating people with love. It didn't matter who they were or where they were from or what they had done. This is just who Jesus is. And John saw that. Jesus is a guy who is full of love. But now for John, It's years later, and Jesus has died. He rose again. He left for heaven. And John is down. Because not just because his friend is gone, Jesus is gone, but because John is looking around. He's looking around at the Christians of his day, at the followers of Jesus of his day, and John's looking around and there's something missing. Something big is missing. Love. John's looking around at the church of his day back then, and he sees people who are hating, who are gossiping, snubbing, and cold-shouldering one another. And John knew that this isn't right. This is not the legacy of Jesus. So what does John do? What does this follower of Jesus do? He comes up with a challenge. He comes up with a challenge. We know this challenge by the name of the book of 1 John. There's a little debate over what this book is. Was it a letter that it was written? Was it a message, a sermon that he delivered? We really don't know. But when we read this book that John has written for us, what we do know is that it is just packed with challenges to love like Jesus has loved us. So here at 242, this is what we're here to do for the next month. We are taking a look at 1 John, and we are taking the challenge. We're taking a look at what John, the disciple of Jesus, has written in this book about love. And we're going to see how he is trying to show us the way to love like Jesus. And so if you have a Bible actually on you, I'd encourage you to get those out right now. And turn to 1 John. Heads up, so there's a Gospel of John. That's the fourth book of the New Testament. That's not the one that we're in. Okay, it's a long book, right? We're taking a look at the end of the New Testament. 1 John, this is, I think, the fifth to last book of the New Testament. 1 John, these are the words that he's written there. Tiny book, 5 chapters long. But this book, again, is packed with challenges that I think are super relevant for our world today. We're going to actually start today in the book of 1 John, and we're going to skip ahead to chapter 2. This book, it's full of great stuff. I wish We actually had time to pore over every single verse here, but we're going to skip ahead to chapter 2, verse 1, because this is where John really starts getting down to it. So if you have it, I'm going to read it. I hope you can read it along there in front of you too. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. This is what he says. He says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that we may not sin. But if anyone does sin," which is everybody, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Who is this Jesus guy? He is, verse 2, "he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I'm going to pause there for a second. John is saying, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the guy that we know, the guy who poured out his life for us. This verse here has that fancy word, right? Propitiation. Can you say that word with me? Propitiation. It's a fancy word, but what John is trying to convey here, what he's trying to remind his readers, is that there was distance. There was separation between us and God the Father. There was separation because of our sin. The things that we do wrong, the things that they were doing wrong, there was separation between God the Father and us because of that. And we can't fix that. We can't bridge that gap. The gap is too wide. That barrier is too strong. We can't fix that. There is no way that we can do that. And so Jesus, the propitiation, he says that I'll make a way. In fact, more than that, I'll actually be the way. I'm going to propitiate. I'm going to make this way happen for you. I'm going to give what God the Father needs. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do everything that it takes to make you not separate, to reunite you with God the Father. He's our propitiation. I'll advocate for you, it says here. So John is saying, okay, so you remember him? Remember Jesus? Remember the kinds of things that he's done for you? And the followers of Jesus are saying, yeah, we know. We know this Jesus. So John continues in verse 3. He says, okay. "And by this, we know that we have come to know him." How do you know that you know Jesus? If we keep his commandments. "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected." I love that verse there. The love of God is perfected. I mean, the love of God, that's pretty perfect by itself, right? In and of itself, it's a pretty good thing, right? But what is this verse reminding us? It's that you perfect. We all perfect the love of God. How does that work? That means that you complete the love of God. You show that you get what the love of God is all about when you love one another, when you keep the commandments, which are all about loving God and loving those around us. We show that we get what God's love is all about when we love one another, when we act like Jesus, when we let him take the lead. We complete the love of God, because that's the whole point. Loving God, loving those around us, that is the whole point. That's how we perfect the love of God. And I absolutely love this last sentence here. John says this, is, "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says that he abides in him," in Jesus, "ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. That's the challenge here, right? Take John at his word and walk with Jesus. Because when you do, you're going to see something incredible about love. And I think today what we've seen about love so far here is this, that love is a barrier breaker. Love is a barrier breaker. Isn't that true? This is Jesus, right? Love is a barrier breaker. This is Jesus and that woman from Samaria, right? That woman at the well. I mean, no one else. No one else would have even dared to even approach her. No Jew, no one from Samaria, no one, just Jesus. Jesus takes a look at her, at her ethnicity, at her past, at her sins, and Jesus says, that's not going to stop me. He breaks down those barriers and goes and talks to her because he wants her to know. He wants her to know how much he loves her. He loves her, and he wants her to know that. He breaks down barriers so that she can. Love is a barrier breaker. I mean, this is Jesus, right? Dying for us on the cross, the propitiation for our sins, our advocate with God the Father, right? He saw, Jesus saw that there was that barrier between us and God the Father. And Jesus says, that can't stay there. Jesus says, no way. I've got to fix that. I got to break that down, that barrier down between us and God the Father. So he laid down his life for us on the cross to make that happen. Because that's what love does. Love is a barrier breaker. So this is the challenge. Walk with me. Walk with me, Jesus says. Walk the way that I walked. And when you do, Jesus says, you know where I'm going to lead you? I'm going to lead you to break down every barrier that you have ever known. Walk with me, Jesus says, and let's break down some barriers together. You know that person that you've been kind of cold to? Maybe they did something to wrong you. Maybe they just kind of rubbed you wrong one time, the first time you met them maybe, and since then you just kind of stopped trying, kind of gave them the cold shoulder after that. You just kind of gave up. You know what Jesus says? Walk with me. Walk with me. And let's give that person another shot. Let's talk to them again and show them some love, because that's what love is. It's a barrier breaker. Maybe you're in middle school, high school, maybe college, and you see that student at school? Maybe the one that looks like they're just terrified or they're super lost and don't know what to do. Maybe it's their first day at that school. They came mid-year and now they're just kind of like fish out of water. Now you could just ignore them. Just pretend like you don't see them. Let them figure it out. I mean, you had to, right? Everyone's got to figure it out. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, come on, walk with me. Walk with me. Go and talk to this person. Go and see how you can help them out. Oh, sorry. Is it you're a senior and they're a freshman? Even better, Jesus says, right? Walk with me. Show love to this person, how you can help them out. Be kind to them. You know that group of friends that you have? This one goes for students and adults. You know the group of friends that you have? Friends are great, right? Friends are great. But you know the danger of friends? Sometimes friends can turn into cliques. It's a real thing, right? How do you know when friends turn into cliques? Oh, when you start seeing barriers. Barriers between them and other people. When you stop showing love, when you stop having time for the people out there because this is all that you can handle. Jesus says, no. No, walk with me. Walk with me. Let's break down that barrier. There is plenty love to go around. That's what Jesus says. I mean, or this, how many people have come to church? Not just here, but churches across America. How many people have come to church and said, you know what? I came, I worshiped, I left, and it's like no one even noticed I was there. Jesus says, church, walk with me. Walk with me. Let me show you another way, church. Let me show you a way to break down some barriers Walk with me, church. Jesus says, talk to people. Maybe look and see if for someone new every time you come. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel like this is a place that is here to receive them, because that's what we are. Jesus says, church, come and walk with me. Break down some barriers and show people some love. Today, I hope that you can reflect for a minute on the barriers that are in your life, between you and someone else, between you and a relationship with someone. What are the barriers in your life? And I hope that you can reflect on that and that you can walk with Jesus to knock those barriers down. Maybe you're used to saying things like this. Maybe to your spouse, you've said, is that another Amazon package? Right? Is that another dirty dish that made it nowhere near the sink after you were done? Oh, wait. Shield my eyes. Is that another toilet seat that's been left up? Now, men, we can do better with the toilet seats, for sure. But how often have we let things, petty things like laundry and dishes, and how often have we let these things become real, very real barriers in our relationship with our spouse, loved ones? All right, Jesus says, walk with me. Let's break those barriers down and show real love to one another. You see where this is going, right? Do you see where Jesus is going? Walk with him. Love like him. Take the challenge, friends, and break down some barriers this week. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we come to you today, and Lord, we see Jesus. We see the kind of guy that he is, the kind of man that John describes for us here in his book of the Bible, God. And our eyes are opened to see who Jesus is, God. We see him as a barrier breaker, and God, we know barriers. We feel them. We've experienced them here in this creation, God, but in our relationship with you and our relationship with one another. But God, we see Jesus is a barrier breaker. We see that he has come to rescue us, to bring us back to you, God. God, we ask boldly that you would teach us, that you would show us the way to break down barriers in our relationship with our friends, with our coworkers, our loved ones, our kids, our parents, our spouse, our neighbors, God, every person that you put in our path. And God, we may not even know them yet. Maybe we'll meet them for the first time this week. God, let us walk with you and break down barriers so that they can know what love really is. God, we ask all these things in your son's name boldly today. It's in your son's name we pray today. Amen. Amen. This time in our service, we celebrate.